Ladies and gents, welcome. We're back. It's you. It's me. It's episode 171 of Abe Thompson and Other Disappointments. It's a St. George's Day special, guys. It's England Day, right? It's a day for patriots, isn't it? Don't know if you picked up on all of that by the title of the episode. It's England Day. It's a day for patriots. Patriots like these. it's funny because it's somebody's dad, isn't it? Anyway, yes, it's a day for patriots and those of us who are not scared to celebrate our country, you know? I mean, maybe you're a bit scared. Maybe you are. Maybe you get a bit triggered at the sight of a harmless Red Cross on a white background. But not me, not us here on this show. Guys, today we are very much here in the spirit of things. You know, every other country celebrates their national day, so why not us, guys? Is what I say as I survey the other countries who do celebrate their national identities, but it mostly originated in a sort of show of strength back in the day in those countries when they were trying to sort of feel unity as they were fighting us, fighting the British Empire and our colonialism. That's why it's okay for them. But anyway, you know, some people say that England, as a dominant force in geopolitics in the 17th, 18th, 19th, and most of the 20th century too, should maybe hang back a little bit when it comes to flapping its flags around in 2024. You know, like it might be a little bit culturally insensitive to do that against the backdrop of communities descendant from the slave trade and the troubled and traumatized victims of colonialism still with us today. But not me. That is not me, guys. I would never do that. I definitely think it is always appropriate on our sacred day to just dress up like a knight from the Crusades and just march past a mosque. Like, what's the matter? It's a Christian country. You know, it's the day of my patron saint. They do it in Wales. They do it in Ireland. Why can't we do it here? So yes, anyway, happy St. George's Day, guys. And welcome to the ATOD St. George's Day special. Now, what better way to start the celebrations than to kick off with a reason to be proud of your country, guys? What better way could we start the St. George's Day special than a reason to feel pride in your country? I mean, a reason other than baseless British exceptionalism, right? So, something apart from that, a little bit different. And so we will turn to the Rwanda bill, people. Or the Rwanda law now, I suppose it is. It was granted its royal assent today. Signed off by the king, who himself is signed off, at least for the foreseeable. I mean, there's still no confirmation as yet, I don't think, if Rishi Sunak will have his sick note withdrawn from him. You know, like, oh, what's this? It's arse cancer. And they said that you couldn't work with that. Give me a break. Get back out there. Cut those ribbons, you old bastard.
Well, they did say to take it easy.
Right, well, I say to take it, you know, what, two times a week? What do you do the other 5 days that you're not on the chemo?
Well, I...
That's what I thought. Better work, you lazy sod. So, King Chuck has signed off the Rwanda bill. And, I mean, doesn't it just make you proud to be English, guys? You know, when we talk about British values, English values, doesn't that just make you proud? You know, it's that compassion, that sticking up for the little guy, right? This Rwanda policy. Like, I woke up this morning, honestly, right? I saw the news. I saw that it had passed. I was like, oh, that really is the best of British, isn't it? It's like, you know, to take a problem like, you know, selling arms to Israel, for example, selling arms to Saudi Arabia. Here we have these countries that just bomb the hell out of, you know, what, Gaza. They bomb the hell out of Yemen. They murder. They maim. We just let these countries do this stuff with stuff that we sell them, right? It's like commercial murder, basically. And then when the few escapees manage to get out of that area, that war zone, that murder, when they then escape and they turn up on our shores, we go, no. No refugees. You can't just rock up here looking for refuge. What are you playing at?
Well, can I go somewhere else? Can I go somewhere safe?
No! No, you can't. We're gonna send you off to a third world country that's been declared unsafe. Like, how unsafe?
Well, it's quite obviously unsafe. Very unsafe. Particularly for people like you. But we've decided to magically declare it safe. So, you know, I know it's confusing. I understand it could be confusing. It is unsafe, but we have decided that it is quote-unquote safe. I tell you what you do. You think of it like a Boeing jet, right? It's the Boeing jet of asylum destinations. That's what it is. They're like, oh, fucking great. Amazing. Thank you. Thanks to the best of British there.
Christ. This Rwanda policy, now Rwanda law. This doomed to fail project, unless its metrics for success were designed to capture national shame. This economically unviable fiscal bin into which we will toss 100 million quid at a time of starved public services. It is a country that we're sending them to with such a checkered history of handling refugees that hundreds of them went missing and are still unaccounted for. It is a UN blacklisted asylum option that comes in just beneath CIA rendition sites and the claimant's original destination in terms of where they would ideally like to end up. That's where Rwanda sits. It's a terribly marketed solution, in air quotes, to asylum challenges by way of ensuring that we have to take their refugees also. How is that going to fix anything? It's an aberration of international law also, at a time when we're desperate to tell other nations and trade blocs that we play by the rules. It is a deplorable non-manifesto bill being shoehorned into the government's agenda in a cynical move to prop up a failing prime minister. Doesn't it just make you proud of your country, guys?
Oh, but it's a deterrent aid. It's a deterrent. We need it as a deterrent.
Like, did any of you see the news first thing this morning, right? Like, it was absolutely awful. It was a really tragic story to wake up to. And it was that 5 people died trying to cross the channel. Like, literally this morning. And this was after this bill had passed, right? So I don't know what mind-bending substances supporters of this bill are enjoying right now when they claim that it's a deterrent. Like, if it weren't so tragic, it would be funny. It would be like, it's too dark, it's too recent and sensitive for it to be funny. But it's just like, I mean, look, the rule for comedy, right, basically, is that comedy equals tragedy plus time, okay? You know, if something's gone wrong in your life, give it time, you'll be able to laugh about it. That's another way of saying it. Comedy equals tragedy plus time. But the trouble with doing satirical politics stuff, right, is you kind of have to do it immediately after something's happened. And even now, like, you know, I'm doing it immediately, like it's on the day of, but I've only got 45 minutes to, like, smush it in. So it's a bit like, oh, I hope this isn't too distasteful. But it's like, I'm not saying it's funny that these people have died. Obviously, it's not, right? There's very, you can trust me on this. This is 6 years of gigging around on the London circuit talking here, right? There's very little comedic mileage to be found out of, you know, parents and kids drowning to death. I can promise you of that. That's not what's funny here. I think what I'm saying, what I'm dancing very carefully around here at this point, is that if it weren't so tragic, it would be funny. Like how unutterably brutal it is. The transparency, the obviousness of it, that they create this bill. The Supreme Court says it's not safe there. The UK government then say, oh, well, we've passed a law that says that it is safe now. So then eventually, after a bit of back and forth, the bill, the deterrent, goes live. And finally, Rishi Sunak and James Cleverly and David Cameron and all the rest of them are all in a position to stand there and go, yeah, we did it. We did it, guys. We can send people to Rwanda now. The deterrent is live. It's going to work. Right? And literally the next fucking morning, five people still die making that exact crossing. I mean, it's awful, isn't it? It's absolutely tragic. Especially for Sunak, who was reported to have been there on the beach this morning, prodding the dead bodies with a stick as the doctor was trying to certify them. And he was like, well, are they actually dead? Are they? I mean, how dead are we talking? I mean, could they still do a job? Can we get them back to work? The doctor's like, Prime Minister, I'm sorry to... Yeah, they've passed away. Right, but could we just, like, slump them in a chair and make them a security guard at the Amazon warehouse? Also, they've got to be able to do something. They don't know there's a bloody productivity crisis going on. Anyway, what else is happening, guys? What else is making you proud to be English today? How about some of these patriots, right, that I found online today? Twitter was basically a zoo this afternoon on St. George's Day. Like, you know in the movies, right? You know in the movies where the hot blonde lawyer walks into a prison to see her client, right? And then all the prisoners start, like, barking and whooping and hollering. And you're like, woo! Yeah, baby! Baby, you come over here anytime, girl! All that, right? It was like that on Twitter. Just this sort of sea of witless, unmedicated morons throughout Twitter this afternoon. Like, you'd saunter into a conversation, right? And they'd just be like, where's your flag? Where's your flag, mate? It's St. George's Day. Where's your flag, you lefty? You know, you snowflake. Where's your bloody flag, though, Aid? And you're like, we were talking about the weather. Like, what the fuck? And I always find it amusing, you know, on St. George's Day, how the flag nonces really amp it up to the nines. You know, like they got a St. George cross in their bio, in their name, you know, the Union Jack next to it. Their username is Dave 4 England 9927135. Then a St. George Jack, then a Union Jack, and then, you know, and then on St. George, like that's them every other day of the year. And then on St. George's Day, they're like, Happy St. George's Day. Sorry if this offends you, you know? And I'm always like, look, you're English. We get it, all right? We got it already. We figured it out the other 364 days this year that you talk gibberish with flags all over your tweets, Dave. It's like Disco Stew off The Simpsons. Do you remember that character? Disco Stew. He's got like the, you know, diamond studded jacket, circular glasses, like a bit of a hippie, and then like the big curly hair. Very disco, right? Disco Stew. It's like Disco Stew walks into a legit 70s discotheque, right? Like a sort of themed 70s discotheque now. But it's like, if you go into the 70s themed discotheque, instead of him sort of embracing you and go like, yeah, look how cool it is. Like, I'm into this stuff normally and like, I'm glad that you're here. Instead of that, he's like using it to angrily force it into your face. Like, he's into it all the time. You're just a pretender. It's like that sort of thing. Well, that's how it feels to me. Like I really think, a lot of flag nonce Twitter, I think a lot of them see St. George's Day as their brief 24-hour window in which they can feel relaxed about who they are, like, the rest of the year, you know? Like, they're already this angry and this flaggy and everything for the rest of the year. It's just that this one day, it's like license to be that times a million. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can guarantee, right? I can guarantee that there's someone out there, right? Some gammony, portly gentleman. Powered by free Greggs and blocked arteries, right? I can guarantee there's somebody out there fits that description driving around Kent or Essex right now, or like, you know, this morning, with status quo blaring out. Flags either side, like, you know, trapped in both windows, blowing in the wind as he's driving around a corner. Guarantee there's somebody like that. Then they pull up at a bus stop and they scream at some terrified schoolgirl, 14 or 15 year old little girl, and they wind down the window. They're like, "Where's your flag, sweetheart?" Gets out the car to go and, like, you know, demand that she wears a flag or something Englandy. And her dad's nearby, you know, fortunately. And he's like, "Oh, what are you doing shouting at my daughter?" Like that. And he's like, "Well, where's her flag? Where's her flag? This was England last time I checked. This is England. So where's your bloody flags?" And then the father will be like, "Oh, because it's St. George's Day, right?" And then the guy will be like, "Oh, is it?" You know, that's just what he does every single day. That's who he is. I can guarantee you that that has happened out there somewhere today. It will happen tomorrow and next week. And I feel like St. George's Day is that 24-hour window where that kind of behaviour becomes... It's like Christmas Day for these people. The Festival of St. Gammon. I mean, really what it all comes down to, like so much of modern life and confusion and bias and prejudices, it comes down to recognising who the underdog is, right? And whether you perceive yourself to have ever had the upper hand or privilege, right? Like, the reason that a skinny woman can't rip in to a larger lady, right, is because the skinny woman would be seen to have the advantage. So the skinny woman would be punching down. So it's not cool. It would be distasteful. The reason that a white guy can't take the piss out of a black guy is because historically, white guys have had it pretty good. White guys are not the underdog in that equation. The reason that Rishi Sunak, privately educated and cocooned in a gilded existence of
red brick universities and Infosys inheritance. The reason that we don't like hearing him say how he doesn't have any working class friends, or, you know, criticising people who are too sick to work, is because he's in a very privileged position. He is not the underdog. So there's always this element of, you know, take the win, bro. Right? Like, it doesn't matter which one of those scenarios that you're talking about. Like, if you're the white guy insulting the black, like, just, you're a white guy. You've got this, but just be happy with what you've got. The small payment, the small cost to you is that you have to just take it on the chin every now and then in a certain situation. But then guess what? You get to go back and dance around in your privilege for your entire life. Like with Rishi Sunak, billionaire, all the privilege in the world. Like, just take the win, bro. Like, you have your mansion. You have your Infosys shares. And your non-dom current account. And your green card, probably, still. You get to keep all of that, Rishi. And eat caviar and shit Dom Perignon every day, all day. At your Illuminati sex parties or something. Whatever it is that rich people do these days. All you have to do, Rish, your side of the bargain, if you're the beneficiary of such privilege, if you're a rich, privately educated, plum-gargling tosser, literally all you have to do is acknowledge that and just don't be a dick about it. You know, don't run around bragging about how rich you are, firstly, or don't pretend that you're not. That's another thing. Don't be advertising how rich you are either. That's uncouth and insensitive. I'm not necessarily saying that he does that. I don't know if he does, really. But as a metaphor for St. George's Day, just to bring this back on topic, that's kind of what the problem is. It's a load of people, right? A load of very flaggy gentlemen, usually, who live in one of the globally dominant superpowers of the last century, right? Whose flag was flying high when they conquered and colonized across the globe. And that's fine. Most of the world looked the other way. Most of the world are willing to just go, yeah, you did do some pretty awful stuff there, England/UK. Most of the world are letting us get away with it. They're just looking the other way with slavery and our stealing of jewels from developing nations. All we have to do is not be dicks about it and acknowledge that privilege. All we have to do is not run down the same streets now, flying red crosses on white backgrounds as people used to back in the 80s down those same streets in front of those same families and same households when they were shouting, like, P-word racial slurs at the inhabitants, you know? Just acknowledge that you're in a first world country that's done pretty well. You know, just take the win, bro. Just don't be a dick about it. You're not the underdog, so stop getting offended when people suggest that you aren't. Am I making sense? I feel like there was a point in there somewhere. It's like, I love England. I love my flag and my England. It's like, I tell you what it does, right? It generates the same response in my chest, right? When I see people like that, or the same judgment in my eyeballs, if I'm being really brutally honest, generates the same response as if I saw a burly, white, middle-aged man, right, shouting at a petite solo woman, right? Just imagine that. Burly, white, middle-aged, angry man shouting at this little dainty woman. And he's like, yeah, I'm a man. And it's this man's day. Because I can, yeah. You know, it's like, you're not the underdog. That's why it's not okay. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it. What else did I want to talk about tonight? Was there something else? So on the St. George's Day special. Oh, yes. I remember now. I've actually prepared something for once, guys. It is St. George's Day. This is a St. George's Day special. And so I thought, what better way to celebrate our country? What better way to serve as a conduit for English pride than if I delivered to you guys here, now, tonight, some facts about England, right? That absolutely sit comfortable, right, in the and other disappointments paradigm. A lot of other shows, a lot of other podcasts, they might be like, well, here's some cool things to feel proud about England with, right? This is very much on brand for this show. So here's 10 facts about England to really get that pride flowing through your veins, guys. You ready? Here we go. So number one in our top 10. Should we get some music? Can we do music? Yeah, okay. Here we go. So in at number 10. Oh, increase in selfie-related accidents. It says, with the rise of smartphone usage, incidents of people injuring themselves while taking selfies in precarious locations have seen a noticeable uptick, prompting concerns about the dangers of extreme selfie culture. Wow. Okay. Apparently we're the worst for those here in England. An increase in selfie-related accidents from our extreme selfie culture. In at number 9, guys. A surge in seagull attacks on coastal cities. Wow. It says, while not necessarily an apex predator, seagulls have become increasingly bold in their interactions with humans. Not with me, though. None of them have been that brave. Because I'll tell you what, right? I might not come off as an alpha male here in my, you know, man cave den with my IT man get up, my super dry hoodies. Right? But I hate birds. I'm not a fan of birds, pigeons, seagulls. What? You fly down to me, we're going to have a problem. I will punch a seagull in the face. I will punch a seagull right in the fucking face. You won't even believe what you just saw when you see me clock that motherfucker. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, he does a lot of progressive content. He seems to really care about refugees. He's always speaking up for this. Where does this stop, though? I mean, is he actually that much of a nice guy? Where does it stop? It stops with birds. Pigeons, seagulls. I would lamp a seagull right in its stupid fucking face. Hate them. Cannot stand them. Big flappy terror. And the noise that they make is stupid. Anyway, let's not go off on too much of a rant. So that was number 9, a surge in seagull attacks. It says reports of aggressive behaviour and attacks on unsuspecting beachgoers have become more common in coastal areas. Imagine how bummed you'd be, right? Number 10 was an increase in selfie-related accidents from extreme selfie culture, right? Number 9 is horrible, aggressive seagull. Imagine how bummed you would be if you're in the middle of taking a selfie of you eating some chips on Brighton Pier or something and a seagull attacked you at the same time. Death by seagull and selfie. What an embarrassing way to die. But what an hilarious funeral it would be. I mean, think of the speeches. Think of the speeches, guys. I'd be happier at that funeral than I've been at some weddings, I reckon. Anyway, so where did we get to? There was number 8. Rise in pothole-related injuries due to budget cuts and neglect, so austerity / Tories, really, isn't it? The number of potholes on English roads has increased significantly over the past 2 decades, leading to a rise in accidents and injuries among motorists and cyclists alike. Next, increase in package theft, With the rise of online shopping, incidents of package theft from doorsteps have become more prevalent. Again, hooray for England, guys. We're doing great things here. Much to be proud of. Next up, infant deaths. But I think we've already established there's very little that's funny in that. Let's move on to the next one. A surge in lost property on public transport. Wow. These are all things that England excels at versus our comparable economies, our European neighbours, and so on. We have a surge in lost property on our public transport. What does that mean? That we get more drunk? Wake up kind of forgetful, bit, you know, not really sure where we are, what's going on. We forget our skateboard that we've put in the over thing. Walk off without it. We're like, oh, not again. I've done that 3 times. Next up, there's been a spike in misadventures during outdoor activities. Dear listeners, it says, despite the popularity of outdoor pursuits, such as hiking and camping, incidents of people getting lost, injured, or stranded in remote areas have seen a noticeable increase. Wow. So, we're leaving stuff on trains. You know, we're becoming more forgetful. And when we don't forget these things, people are stealing them with the package theft. Then we've got mutant seagulls attacking us. And when we decide that we've had enough, we can't take it anymore, we need a trip out to the woods. Then we get lost and we die out there alone. More often than our European neighbours. What else is that? Oh, we got 3 more left. We got an increase in social media addiction. We've got a growth in food delivery mishaps. That's when you order off Uber or Deliveroo and they send it to the wrong house. Or you turn up at the... I don't know. And then finally, guys. Something to be proud of. Something that England excels at. There has been a rise in... This is quite weird. There's been a rise in awkward Lyft encounters. Yeah. Been a rise in England of awkward Lyft encounters. It says, despite being a mundane aspect of modern life, awkward encounters in elevators have become more frequent, with many people opting for uncomfortable silence or forced small talk rather than acknowledging their fellow elevator passengers. Which, I mean, I don't even know what that means. Like, what is that? Does that mean people are catching a lift, you know, to the 6th floor more often? We don't take the stairs so much anymore, so we're more likely to bump into other people? Does it mean that we're building more apartment blocks, so more people per capita are taking a lift? And so they're measuring it like that? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's also that like, one of the other points, wasn't it? Like, more people are addicted to their phones. Social media addiction is more prevalent in England than in other places. So maybe that, does that work with the lift? You know, like they're more likely to be looking down at their phones and not engaging with their fellow passengers. I mean, to be like, with that one, I don't find it quite so disappointing, right? Because I think I would rather you kept looking at your phone or just, you know, completely ignored me. I would rather that than the small talk. Or like, quite more often than not, I would rather just to be completely ignored and left alone than be bothered to, you know, badgered myself. I've got my own thoughts, my own phone addiction to get through, to manage, to get a fix of. You know, I'd rather just be ignored, right, than this is what I really hate when this happens. And let me know if this has happened to you, please, because it feels like it always only happens to me, right? It's when you sort of become passerby friends. Do you know what I mean? Like, you never actually met one another. You've never been introduced to one another. You don't have anything in common. You don't even know who this person is, right? But you just saw them around the way enough times. It's like 5 or 6 times, maybe. And now you've seen them so many times and your eyes have sort of met, you know, by accident so many times that now whenever you do see them, you have to go like, all right, like that. Like, you're friends now. You're not friends. You don't know who this person is. It's like a non-friend. I would rather be ignored than have that. That's to have a friend, a friendship based on no names and zero actual exchanges that you've ever had with this person. All right, that's it. I think I'd rather be ignored than that. And you know what? Like, I think that, just to round off here, I think that is actually the thing that I am most proud of with England, with being English, you know? It's that sort of, meh, attitude that bleeds throughout much of the population. That sort of miserable, curmudgeonly response that we give to basically everything. You know, if you've ever seen that interview with Robert Thingy from The Cure, where the American lady's so excited to speak to him, she's like, "So, are you excited?" And he's like, "Not really." Like, I love that. I love that vibe. I'm very proud of that with England and English people. That sort of, you know, like when we mess up, when we get kicked out of the World Cup, or, you know, something bad happens, or I love the fact that the English, I'm going to broaden it out to the British. I love that the British could just be like, "Yeah, that's us. Yeah, we're gutted." You know, it's like that sort of thing. That's what I love. That's what I'm proud of. Guys, I'm going to have to wrap it up. Thank you so much for continuing to listen to the podcast. I'll be back probably tomorrow morning with an alternative paper review. If you haven't joined the Patreon or the YouTube community yet, do give it a look. There's links to both in the description below. If you're not in a position to sign up for either one of those, do consider dropping a little tip in the tip cup. You can just tap the three dots and there's a little thing there for thanks. It's called a super thanks. You could drop a little tip in there. If it's like £3 or £5, I can buy myself a beer with it. And I'll probably enjoy it on the Friday night live show. I'll be back this Friday, 7:30, just like I am every Friday. Until then, keep it booge, keep it binfluencer, and we are out this motherfucker.